You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Besides being an FOS, a friend of Sting,
yeah.
Merrill Hodge, terrific NFL player. Worked with him all those years at ESPN. He's an accomplished speaker, inspirational speaker. In fact, I'm looking at his website right now, MerrillHodge.com.
Uh-huh.
Slick, sure. Well put together.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have one.
No, I don't.
Where's your website?
No, I don't have.
I mean, here's Merrill saying, give your audience more than inspiration. Find a way every day with self-reflection and action. What the hell are you doing, Schlereth?
I'm sitting here babysitting you is what I'm doing.
Let's bring in Merrill Hodge. Merrill, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. See, Sting doesn't need no website. He's getting up on his own, brother. That's how he's been all the way from college. He doesn't need no superlatives or adjectives. He's the man.
Oh, Haji, man, good to hear your voice. And I've been enjoying your breakdowns because it's so interesting. And you and I kind of think a lot alike. Maybe that's the Idaho brother in us, Merrill playing at Idaho State, me at Idaho. But it is really hard for me to evaluate a college quarterback. And one of the things that I get nationally with these guys and how they evaluate, it's like, hey, the guy is special. The guy's an athlete. The guy's got a big arm. The guy can make this throw. You know, it's remarkable running to his left. And then I see a bunch of dudes missing throws and not being, you know, and there's no progression in the offense. It's spread. It's you know, static, the formations, it's really hard to evaluate. So as you've evaluated these guys, and I know you went in on Drake May a little bit, but, like, just take me through your process when you're evaluating a quarterback or when you're evaluating some of these draft prospects.
Well, you know, Stink, I think that's kind of, you know, there's two kinds of evaluators. You know, I learned this, my first year, my rookie year in the National Football League from Chuck Knoll. I'm not going to bore you with the story or the journey, what he did, but there's measurable evaluators and there's football evaluators. And listen, at the end of the day, I'd rather have football evaluators. I'm not saying measurable evaluators. There's not some role in there and there's not some value. But we're playing football. We're not trying to find out who's the biggest, fastest, strongest. That's important and there's some relevancy to that. But at the end of the day, you're playing football. Okay, now, to really walk you through the process, like from how I look at quarterbacks, maybe actually all these players, like, I don't watch where they're playing. I watch where they're going to play. So a lot of people actually don't know this. You know, the field, everything changes when you go to the NFL. Okay, the field changes. The width and length are the same. However, the hash marks are different, and that changes the environment of the game. In college, they're wider. That means that's why they play on the perimeter. In the NFL, they get moved into the middle, and that's why you play in the middle. My guy is better than your guy most of the time in college. In the NFL, my guy's as good as your guy. The schemes that you run on both sides of the ball are the most sophisticated you will ever see or ever experience. And the best in the world are doing it. The coaches on the sidelines are the best in the world. And so that process of learning and evolving is a critical step. So one of the most important aspects in our league from a quarterback perspective, these two things have to be, like, it's like a woven thread as one. If you don't have one, if you have one, you don't have the other. One of them will drive you out of the league. So you have to start. I always start with these two things. A guy who can process things and processes them, the better they process and the quicker they do, the better chance they have to translate. And then accuracy. So processing and accuracy are like really the typical aspects of growth. Like right from there, then you build from there, you know, from pocket awareness, mobility, anticipation, and then you get into arm strength, okay? Because you're right. People, if you're going to say a guy's going to be a great quarterback because he has a big arm, well, you're a measurable guy. That has very little to do with it, although it has something to do with it, but not playing the position and how you have to play it. And then the area that they play in college, you know, most of the time it's a clean pocket. They have 3 to 4 to 5 seconds. In the NFL, about 70% of their throws are in a dirty pocket around a little over 2 seconds. And that's an environment that you're going to have to play in. So listen, in the last 5 years, there's only been two guys that had these skills that gave them a better chance to translate into the NFL than we have seen, and that's Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud. In fact, you know, C.J. Stroud, I was in a scouting meeting, and I was talking about just those two things, processing and his accuracy. I go, it is elite. I'm like, I go, the way he sees things, and the guy, someone goes, oh, well, he didn't do well on the test. I said, what? He didn't do well on a test. I said, well, time out. What are we doing on Sunday? What do you mean? I go, what are we doing on Sunday? We're playing football. Okay, we're not taking tests, right? The kid is, the play is smart, okay? I don't care what he did on the test. I took that stupid test. When I'm taking that stupid test, I'm like, what does this got to do with football? He's got nothing to do with football. And that's where, you know, I think why we see things the same way or a lot alike is because the only way you can know that is watching tape. There's no statistic that can tell you all the things that I just shared with you. There's none. And if you don't watch tape and you don't have a sense of it, and I played in that environment. Mark, you played in that environment. I mean, I sat in the pocket on third down when that pocket was collapsing. I had to know, you know, who I got to pick up, who, what kind of coverage they have, where the pressure's coming from, what's our offensive line's responsibility, and the chaos that exists there. And if you don't have at least those two things, you just got no shot. And the accuracy one is really, well, they're both, so I can't take one without the other. That's why I put them together. And then you get into all of those other things. And then after that, I haven't even got into coaching and your mental toughness and all the other aspects that are going to be tested and weathered. And do you have that? So it's a, and I'll say this, there's nobody in this draft that you see CJ Stroud or Joe Burrow. None of them are that. And all these guys are getting pushed up into the first round. They're not first rounders. And that's not their fault. It's the fault of evaluators and organizations that make the same mistake over and over. They try to fix things you can't fix. You push people higher than they should be pushed, and then the expectations become overwhelming, and that's part of the debacle.
Visiting with Merrill Hodge, who recently created waves by coming out and saying Drake May is going to get a general manager fired.
Right. Yes, and one of the things about that is the same thing I told you after watching three games, that the short to intermediate routes, the most inconsistent thrower that I've watched, loopy mechanics, I didn't like him. And so, you know, I think Merrill and I are on the same page with that. Yeah, he can throw a deep ball. You know, how many opportunities do you get to really launch one down the football field in any given Sunday is a couple at most a game. So I would ask you, Merrill, real quick, because we're in kind of a quarterback conundrum here in Denver. Which guy do you study that has some of those things, the accuracy and the processing ability that you think is going to translate to the NFL?
Okay, you know, actually, the one guy that I really like is Jaden Daniels. And I actually like Bo Nix. You know, but, like, I think a guy like Bo Nix, even probably a guy like Jaden Daniels, but more like Bo Nix and Penix, they'd be much better off in their careers if they were drafted in the second round. They don't have first-round skills. They just don't. But when you put in the first round, that's what your expectations are. In Denver, what is your standard? It is John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ain't nobody in this draft John Elway. Nobody John Elway. And that's the stand, and that's what the fans expect. And that's when you draft somebody too high and you do that, you get in trouble doing that. I try to tell people all the time, you know, when you're trying to build things in the National Football League and build success and build something good, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's a process, you know, and you're going to draft the first round and think your team is fixed. And that's just not the case. You know, it takes many drafts and many players and all different kinds. But, you know, Jaden Daniels does have, and he played in a pro-style system. I watched him all the way from Arizona State, you know, and he was there with Marvin Lewis and that staff that was there and how he came in, how he grew. Then he went to LSU. And they actually do some pro-style stuff. And if you watch him as a processor and accuracy, now he's still not CJ Stroud. I mean, he's still got a long ways to go. And that's why I look at him like, oh, my gosh, if you get drafted in the top five, that's what you're expected to do now, okay? What C.J. Stroud said, that's what people expect. In Denver, they expect John Elway. You know, and I've mentioned Bo Nix because he is a guy, okay, there's nothing that he does that you're just like, wow. But he does everything really good. You know, he's got a really good arm, good mobility. I mean, he functions in the system that he plays in. He does it well. All those things that, you know, that you eventually have to do it on the next level. He just doesn't have anything that's truly elite. But if you draft him in the first round, there's a whole different standard there versus the second round.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, unfortunately these players get put into. I know they want to get drafted in the first round. I get that. But sometimes it's their demise versus getting drafted later.
Yeah. It's all good stuff, Merrill, man. It's so great to catch up. I'll talk to you soon. Love you, brother. And thank you so much for jumping on. All right, buddy.
Get a website, Sting. Get a website. Love you.
Okay.
Yeah. MerrillHodge.com. Right. Check it out. Mark's still working on his. It's under construction.
Yeah.
Merrill Hodge, an FLS friend of Sting.
22 years it's been under construction.
Coming up next, if you need to know the difference between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets as we get set for the big matchup tonight, it was on full display last night. We'll explain next.